My name is Dan Palmer. It's good to be with you this morning. I know most of you, I guess, but Sean is away getting a little well-deserved R&R with his family this weekend, so he asked me to fill in for him, and I always enjoy the opportunity to share, so it's good to be with you this morning, and hopefully through something that's said or done this morning, you won't feel like you wasted your time coming because Sean wasn't here. But... Thanks for laughing. Appreciate that. If I do tell a joke and nobody laughs, I will let you know if it's a joke or not. So. People tease me. They say, oh, you can't. I've never seen you get through a service without telling a joke. I will tell you one story before I get started. I had a telemarketer call me the other day, try to sell me a coffin. I was like, yeah, that's the last thing I need. That was a joke. That was a small attempt at a joke. Anyhow, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to share this morning. And Father, I would just ask that you would use me to just deliver a nugget of truth, just something that we can take with us back home into our lives. Father, open up the eyes of our understanding, open up our hearts, open up our minds, Father, that we can receive your word. And Lord, just be blessed by spending this time in your presence this morning. Thank you for your desires being accomplished here this morning, today, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Sean does tease me a lot about being from Pennsylvania, that we drive all the way up here to go to church. I'm actually from New York, a small town northeast of here, Dansville. Anybody heard of Dansville? Come on, give it up. I'm actually not even from Dansville. You drive north out of Dansville for a few miles, and as you're heading out of Dansville on one of the main roads, you turn left and go up a hill up into the country. I know it's probably kind of hard to comprehend that somebody with so much sophistication is from the country, but I really am from the country. Dansville's not even really a big city. Dansville's a pretty small town. But before I go on with this story, anybody here Boy Scout ever? Okay, was anybody ever a Boy Scout in Dansville? I hope not, because... Girl Scout? Not in Dansville, though. Okay. Where I lived up in the country, when the Boy Scouts had their annual wilderness weekend, it was like across the road from my house. Okay, that's where I lived up in the country. A lot of my friends from high school were always trying to get me to join the Boy Scouts, and I was like, what? I know this. We lived in the woods. I mean, the woods was, I knew the woods better than the Boy Scouts knew the woods. In fact, when the Boy Scouts used to come for their weekend wilderness getaway, there was always at least one or two or three Palmer boys that would somehow mysteriously show up in the middle of the night to give them a good spook. They would come early. They'd get their camp all set up. They'd get everything all set up nice and their food. And there was a bowling, at the time, there was a bowling alley in Dansville. And the bowling alley used, when the pins reach an end of useful life and then they just get rid of them, they used to give the pins to the Boy Scouts because they burn really good. They make really good campfires. So there was this one year, they came and they got everything all set up and they had a big stock of bowling pins. And after they got the camp all set up, they'd go out on a little nature hike or whatever and they would just, you know, they'd be gone for a couple hours. And while they were gone, we pretty much would ransack the camp. I'm sorry, but it's, you know, I really am going somewhere with a message here. We would kind of ransack their camp. And this particular year that they brought a nice big supply of bowling pins, when they came back, their bowling pins were all gone. And at the end of the weekend, when they were heading back into Dansville and they drove by our house, we were there in the driveway bowling. I don't know if they ever made the connection, but I said all that to say this. We grew up, because we grew up where we did, the way that we did, out in the country like that, we were free. I mean, we had the woods, we had the creek, we had bicycles, we had motorcycles, we had field cars. I mean, you name it. We grew up free as free can be. We were always out in the woods. We were always building forts. We were always camping out. We were always doing things like that. But yet, as a child, I can remember Mom and Dad had so many rules, so many regulations. Do this, don't do that. Don't forget to do this. Make sure you do this. Don't let me ever catch you doing this. There was so many rules and regulations, we thought at the time, that I can remember saying and thinking, and I'm sure you saw and felt and thought the same things, When I get older, when I move out of home, I'm not going to listen to anybody's rules. I'm gonna be free. I can do what I want, whenever I want. I'll stay up as late as I want. I'll sleep in as long as I want. I'll drink Pepsi for breakfast. Remember saying that? Remember thinking that? Oh, we just, so many rules and regulations. Oh, I can't wait till I'm out of the house so I can just do whatever I want, whatever I want. And then you go to school, and your time spent in school, you begin to develop the same kind of attitude. Boy, let me tell you what, once I graduate, I'm never going to pick up a book again. I'm never going to read. I'm never going to do math. Anybody else ever feel that besides me? It just seemed like so many rules and so many regulations. And wait a minute, I thought we were free. We live in the United States. We live in a land of freedom. And obviously, I'm kind of going this direction because of the weekend that we are in the middle of here, where we celebrate our national freedom. We celebrate our independence. We celebrate where we are today as a nation and as a country. And, you know, I'll just kind of throw this in as a side note. A lot of people I talk to, I deal with people all the time for work. A lot of people that I talk to, everybody's all nervous and worried about, you know, well, what, you know, look at the direction we're going. We got a big election coming up. We got countries doing crazy things over in the Middle East. You know, what do we do? What do we do? How do we pray? I tell them all the same thing. Jesus gave us an example prayer in his word, and he said, pray this. Our Father who art in heaven, what is it? Thy will, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Instead of bashing and doing all this kind of stuff, why don't we just all come together and pray for God's will to be accomplished here on this earth? I think that would resolve so many things and really take a lot of worry and a lot of unnecessary junk out of our minds. Amen? That we just pray for God's will to be done. I think that would be the best thing. And you know, this goes, the whole thing about wanting our freedom and wanting to be not under somebody else's rules and regulations, that goes on throughout our life. Whether you're talking about going on to a secondary school, getting a job, being involved in relationships, every one of those avenues that you go down, there's always a set of rules and regulations that go with them. And, you know, wait a minute, I thought we were free. Look at all these rules and regulations. I want you to look this morning at this is from the dictionary, the definition of the word freedom. The state of being free or at liberty rather than in confinement or under physical restraint. I think that's an obvious one. We know that if we see somebody with handcuffs on or with shackles on or behind bars, we can pretty much make the determination those people are not free, okay? Being free or at liberty rather than in confinement. Exemption from external control, interference, or regulation. Like you talk about growing up. Man, I want to do whatever I want. I don't want somebody else to interfere or regulate what I want to do. You know, little did we know at the time, but those rules and regulations that mom and dad had for us were because they loved us and they wanted us to live more than 2 or 3 years. You know, we thought it was perfectly all right. We would always do this, and I'm sure no one in this room has ever done this. There was three of us boys, which probably isn't a good thing anyways. There was three of us boys, and whenever mom and dad would go away, as soon as they would leave, we would use our freedom for an opportunity to do something that we knew was breaking the rules. No, it got really quiet in here. No one else has ever done that? Am I the only one? I'm all by myself. Thanks, Adam. We would use our freedom for an opportunity to just, woo! You know, we thought it was perfectly fine to try to parachute off the garage. Or, you know, ride the bike trail with the jump that went right across the middle of the road. Or raid the neighbor's garden. Or, I mean, the list can go on and on. A lot of things we didn't do when mom and dad were there, but as soon as they left, man, it was like, what can we get into? What can we do? We wanted to be free from that. We wanted to be exempt from external control. We wanted to be free. The power to determine action without restraint. We wanted to do whatever we wanted to do. Oh, when I get older, you wait till I move out. I'm going to do whatever I want to do whenever I want to do it. Political or national independence. Personal liberty as opposed to bondage or slavery. Exemption from the presence of anything specified, usually followed by the word from, like freedom from fear, freedom from death, all those kind of things, all talking about freedom. The absence of or release from ties or obligations. If you're under contract with somebody, once you fulfill the contract, you're freed from that contract. So there's a lot of different aspects or facets of the word freedom. And obviously, looking at the definition, what I was describing to you as growing up and a little kid up in the middle of the country, That was the kind of freedom that we were. Look, we didn't want restraints. We didn't want somebody telling us what we could or couldn't do. But let's. I would like to take a few moments this morning and look back at a time, 1620, the year 1620. There was a group of Protestant separatists led by William Bradford. They left the Church of England, which was the established church of the time. They left it because of how corrupt it was, how idolatrous it was. It just was going against everything that they were told is their freedom to worship God the way that they wanted to worship God. This group of Protestant separatists actually moved to Holland first. They thought, well, we got to get out of England. We got to be free to worship the way we want to. So they left England and they went to Holland. Because of the conditions that they left England and went to Holland, the people in Holland viewed them as kind of rebellious. They wouldn't give them good jobs. They wouldn't give them good paying jobs. They made it really tough for them to live there. Plus, Holland at the time was very, very progressive, very ungodly kind of lifestyles taking place in Holland. So after a period of time, William Bradford thought, well, this isn't the answer either. We still want our freedom. Let's go. Get on one of these ships that's going over to the New World. Let's go over, let's check it out. Let's build our own colony over there. That way we can be free from the governance. We can be free from the church's control. We can totally have the freedom that we so long for. So they actually went back to England, found a company that would fund their way to the New World, under the agreement that they would pay back the funding once they established the new colony in the New World. There was almost 40 of these Protestant separatists that had got on board this ship called the Mayflower. I think I got a picture of the Mayflower. That's obviously, it's not the real one. It's a replica. Because I don't think they had colored film back then. But there was about 40 of these guys. And then there was a crew of about 30 people. I'll back that up a little bit. When they first started out on their voyage, there was actually two ships. There was the Mayflower. Anybody know the other one? Speedwell. It's got to be true. It was on the internet. The Mayflower and the Speedwell left at the same time. They didn't get very far at all when the Speedwell developed a leak that they knew there was no way they could fix it. There's no way that they could spend this journey on the Speedwell. So they both came back, and the crew, everybody from the Speedwell and everybody from the Mayflower all crunched into the Mayflower. Picture 102 people. Now, the Mayflower is normally used for cargo, just to deliver cargo from port to port. Now there's 102 people. Their belongings, I mean, some of these people, well over half of the people involved were going there to stay there. So they wanted to pack whatever they could bring with them so that when they got to the New World, they could actually live and survive. 102 people plus all their belongings jammed onto this little tiny boat. And because of the time that they wasted for the Speedwell to come back and everybody to load onto the Mayflower, they had originally planned on leaving when the ocean was the calmest. It wasn't storm season. Because of the delay, they left right in the middle of storm season. September 6th, 1620 is when they left. 66 days. Now, this isn't the Carnival Cruise Line, okay? 66 days out in the ocean without today's technology, without knowing what lied ahead, without knowing, even if you were on course still, except for, the compass and the stars and all that kind of stuff. If you ask me, it was a miracle that they even got near where they actually wanted to go. But for 66 days, these people were out to sea. November 9th, 1620, they finally, 66 days later, they reach what is now what we call Cape Cod. So here's a group of people that we want to be free. We want to get out of here. We want to be able to worship God the way that we want to worship God. They get to the New World. They land November 9th. Before anybody is allowed off the boat, they create what is called the Mayflower Compact. Have you heard of that? Probably some of you kids probably remember more than some of us adults remember this kind of stuff. But they made the Mayflower Compact. What was that? It was called a civil body politic that was meant to enact just and equal laws, ordinances, acts, and offices. What it basically was the establishment of their first government. Laws, rules, Wait, I thought you were coming over here to be free from all the laws, the rules, the regulations. Before anybody was allowed off, they made the Mayflower Compact. They established these laws, these rules, these regulations, even like elected officials, and they made the people sign it before they would let them go on shore. Now, obviously, think about New England, the New England area, in the middle of November. Appetizing, you think? They actually lived on board the Mayflower through the winter, and I don't want to give you the wrong numbers here. It was pretty crazy. Only 53 passengers and half the crew survived that first winter. So a little better than half of the people survived living on the Mayflower through that first winter. In April of 1621, the Mayflower went back to England because it was a boat that was going to continue to be used in service. So the Mayflower left and went back. They were forced to go on the land and establish the first colony. Within the first year that they were there, now I said that the Protestant separatists, there was almost 40 of them. Within the first year, that number was cut in half. So half of the people that set sail for religious freedom never saw the end of the first year. Huge price to pay for freedom. And then these people had to go and they had to establish a colony. Maybe their spouse died. Maybe their children died. Maybe their best friend that went with them died. I mean, just if you line up those 40 people, you know, every other one is gone now. What a huge price to pay for freedom. There at the colony that they called Plymouth, there was a rock called Plymouth Rock. Here's what it said on that rock. This spot marks the final resting place of the pilgrims of the Mayflower. In weariness and hunger and cold, fighting in the wilderness and burying their dead in common graves, that the Indians should not know how many had perished, they here laid the foundation of a state in which all men for countless ages should have liberty to worship God in their own way. Look at the price they paid for this freedom. Obviously, more people came later. You know, they were able to fortify. They were able to, I mean, obviously, or we wouldn't be here today. But look at the price of the foundation that was laid for the freedom of the United States. I know we celebrate our independence in 1776, but 150 years before that, we have these people writing on a rock in Plymouth saying, we're here to found the foundations for a state in which all men for countless ages should have the liberty to worship God in their own way. All you who pass by and see this stone, remember and dedicate yourselves anew to the resolution that you will not rest until this lofty ideal shall have been realized throughout the earth. Man, what a huge sacrifice. What a huge challenge and what they gave up to establish that freedom here on this earth. Now, I want you to look with me in Galatians chapter 5, please. Galatians 5:1 starts out like this. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Last week, Pastor Sean explained to you that, you know, there's basically two sides of the coin before we're born again. There's guilty, there's not guilty. Before you've accepted the completed work of salvation that Jesus Christ purchased for you, before you have accepted that, you're guilty. There's no middle ground here. You're either guilty or not guilty. After you've accepted the completed work of Jesus Christ, you are not guilty. And Jesus says here, Paul says here, that it was for freedom that Christ set us free. And all these things speak of freedom. All these things speak of, you know, just we looked at that list. We looked at that definition of the word freedom. And all these things point to, you know, we should be free. We should just be free to do whatever we want. Why is there rules and regulations? The Bible clearly says here it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Pastor Sean also quoted this verse to you, and we're going to look at it again, Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. We have been freed from the law of sin and death. And again, you know, if you look at this, you think of it, whether you were a kid or you were in school just the rules and the regulations that are constantly bombarding us all the time. Wait a minute, time out. We're free. What's with all the rules? What's with all the regulations? There's two words, law. The word law is used twice in this verse. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. There's two sets of laws that are being talked about here. Yeah, we have been freed from the law of sin and death. If you just look back one verse, I don't know if I did a slide for this or not. Romans 5. Did I do one for 5:22? No? There it is. 6:22. Thanks, guys, for catching up. But now having been freed from sin and enslaved to God. Wait a minute. What about all this talk about freedom? What about gaining our freedom? What about we're free? We can do whatever we want whenever we want to do it. We have been freed from sin and enslaved to God. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and of death. We have been set free, but we are still enslaved to God. There's a law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That very law is the law that set us free from the law of sin and death, but we're still under that law. Does that make sense? I mean, can you imagine having actual, literal freedom? I mean, it's like, for those that are school teachers, you know, it's like when there's recess and you let the kids out on that playground. I mean, it's chaos. I remember some of the stuff we used to do at recess. I mean, it's chaos. There's just stuff. Kids are going every direction. They may be playing kickball, but somebody's decided to play by their own rules or do whatever they want to do. Or, no, it's okay for me to do that. Even though there's freedom, there has to be rules. There has to be regulations. There has to be things that we follow. Okay, now back in Galatians 5. If you look down at verse 13, for you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. That's exactly what I was talking about when we were kids. I mean, as soon as mom and dad left, as soon as the threat of rules or regulations left, we would use that opportunity to break a rule. And now here the Bible says, you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law, this is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care lest you be consumed by one another. But I say, walk in the Spirit and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. When we got born again and Jesus deposited his Holy Spirit within each one of us, he called it a guarantee, a down payment for what was yet to come. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has been deposited within us. Well, how do we know what's right and wrong? How do we know what we should do or what we shouldn't do? I mean, I don't care what you're doing today. You want to drive a car? Here's the rules. You want to work here? Here's the rules. You want to go to school here? Here's the rules. You want to live in this country? Here's the rules. You want to live for Jesus? He's deposited his law within us. Amen? He's deposited his laws within us. And the rules, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that thing that, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but when you try to do the same things that you tried to do before you got saved, there's just some. I mean, nobody has to come and point their finger in your face and say, you shouldn't be doing that. There's something on the inside of us, amen? The Spirit of God within us, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that very thing that set us free from the law of sin and death is now become the law that resides within us. Growing up, we didn't want the rules and regulations. Mom and Dad wanted us to have rules and regulations because they wanted us to grow up to fit into society, to be people that could work with other people, to be people that could exist. Those Protestant separatists wanted freedom. They paid dearly for the freedom to come to the New World and establish a colony where it was their hope to perpetually to cause that religious freedom, freedom to worship God in the way that they wanted to, so that it would perpetuate and just exist on this earth forever and ever and ever. They established rules. Why? Because they wanted to see their beliefs actually come to pass. God, through Jesus Christ, has set us free from the law of sin and death. Without rules? No, he's given us rules because he wants us to be the light. He wants us to be the example to the world. Amen? I'll show you one more verse. I don't think I have a slide for it or anything. It's in, I think it's in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2 speaks of this very thing. 1 Peter 2, verse 13. It says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority or to governors as set by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Act as free men. Do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bondslaves of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. When we do the things that are right, when we do the things that God desires that we do, when we are obedient to the Spirit of God that resides within us, it makes us the kind of people on this earth that God wants us to be, so that other people look at us and say, what they have is what I need in my life. We're supposed to be that kind of light. We're supposed to be that kind of example. We have been given freedom, but don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but use it to honor God. When we think about the freedom that we have, when we think about here in the United States how we are free, I mean, I guess you almost have to travel to other countries. You have to hear stories from third world nations when you hear about the way that different things are handled. But to appreciate the freedom that we have here in the United States, yes, there are rules and regulations with it. Obey the laws of the land. The Word of God tells us to do that. You know, and I've had people argue with me, what if the laws of the land go against something that God's told me to do? You know, as far as I can see, that would be the only time when you have the right to break a law that exists in the earth, is if it totally comes against one of God's commandments. But before we get all religious and we like to think, well, I'm only doing this because, you know, God says that I'm free. That's not the intent at all. We are being called by a spirit. We are being controlled by the Spirit. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is the thing that has set us free from the law of sin and death. But we are not to just use that freedom for an opportunity to go out and do things that are wrong, because we are free. But we are to use it to serve God and to be an example for Him. Amen? Amen. Remember, this weekend as we celebrate our independence, it's always good to think back and look at the price that was paid and to think, are we doing anything to perpetuate? I mean, what they wrote on that rock was unbelievable. I mean, after losing 50% of the people that came over with them, I mean, I know people that would have just given up. I said, well, this was not really worth it. I'm going back. At least we knew we could survive over there. We don't even know what exists over here. Huge price that was paid for the freedom that now we just kind of take for granted. Father, I would ask this morning for myself, for the people that are sitting here, Lord, just that we could really have a revelation of the price that was paid for the freedom that we have. Lord, not just in the price that those Protestant separatists paid to come over to the New World, but in the price that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ paid to purchase our freedom. Lord, we're in awe to think that such a price was made for each one of us individually. What an honor to be called a child of God. Father, help us to live our lives in such a way that we don't use our freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but we use it to serve one another in love, to be an example in this world of the goodness of our God. Thank you for these things this morning, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.